Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of Acts today, so if you find the New Testament and the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, next book is Acts, and we begin in chapter 1. So I'll be reading chapters 1 and 2, taking some devotional pauses, thinking about some application at the end, and then closing in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word and this historical transitional book of Acts, Father, is full of what took place after you left, after Jesus left, and the disciples began the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just pray, Father, as we read these two chapters, that you will help us to know more about you and how we are to respond in honoring you. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. By the way, this is Luke writing here. This is his second volume. It fits with the book of Luke and now Acts. Verse 2, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." They were always asking him about time and when things are going to happen, and he would never give them more than what they needed to know and what they needed to focus on right then. And they needed to focus on the fact that if they stay put for now in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit's going to come on them and then send them out to the other places in the world. Verse 9, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Little did they know that actually wouldn't happen in their lifetimes. And we're still waiting for it today. Verse 12, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Peter and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out." So I guess we're supposed to know a little bit of the detail of Judas's end there, the betrayer. Verse 19, everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, which is field of blood. "For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.'" So he's applying that Old Testament book to their current situation of needing to replace Judas as an apostle. "Therefore, it's necessary," verse 21, "to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. Chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." So this is a part of the fulfillment of what Jesus said would happen. And notice that the speaking in tongues here is connected to the sharing of the gospel, the sharing of the truth, because here's what happens next, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious of the day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So it's interesting. He uses the prophet Joel to say this is what's happening here in the last days. Now, again, 2,000 years later, we're still looking for these things to all be fulfilled, and we're still in the last days. Verse 22, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man credited to God by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you and through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Not something you typically say when you're trying to win people to Christ. Verse 24, "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from his Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." So he's making the connection now. Here's Jesus. Here's what happened. Here's what happened as it relates to the Holy Spirit. Here's the promise, and here's what you're seeing. Verse 34, "For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So that was the message. Repent and be baptized. It's separated in all of Scripture. But here, the basic idea was you repent of your sins, and then you get baptized to show that you're following Christ. verse 40, with many other words he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Okay. What did they do? Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, that's the end of chapter 2 and the end of our reading for today. So, what do you take away from chapters 1 and 2 of Acts that you can apply to your life? I think what I take away is that the message is no different than today. We now have the Holy Spirit. We have the truth of the gospel through Jesus Christ. Repentance is what you need to do to turn from your sins toward Christ. And then you're that's salvation. But then you're baptized to show that you are a follower of Christ, which in that day was the key. Like, you could say you believed in Christ, but until you were baptized, they didn't believe you. But once you were baptized, you were making that lifelong commitment that then would put you in harm's way. And so that's what I take away from today, that we're still in the last days. We're still waiting for Jesus to return in the clouds. And we still have the same message by the power of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Turn to Christ. What's your application for today? Father, thank you for your word, for this history of the church as it began on the day of Pentecost. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that we still have him living inside of us. And thank you that we are still in the last days waiting for you to come. And until then, we still have a message to preach. May you be pleased by how I live that out today. In Jesus' name, amen.